Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is October 14th, 2005. Today's session is entitled, What Does the Resource Center Mean in These Times? Let's listen in.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tom. I'm one of the directors. This is Gary Davis, the administrative assistant. And last week, Gary and I introduced this topic, and what we did last week, I'm just going to take about 2 minutes to recap what that was for you. We posed a question during the first half hour, since all of us someday will go down the mountain, and then there may be months, weeks, years, who knows, before we return. Let's say you did return in 2 years and Koinonia has now been completely remodeled. The new Library Resource Center has been built. And as you investigate the building, you wander around and see that there are four or five carrels there with computer terminals. And there is now email access to guests or staff who may want it. And what we ask people to do was to discuss how they felt about that and whether they felt that would be something that was enhancing community, was it something that was contrary to our mission statement, was it something that was a great boon to the village. We didn't deal a whole lot with the web, and basically people talked about that for about 30 minutes. During the second half hour, we talked about cell phone use within the village, which will be a more pressing issue as that is quite close. And what we wanted to do in terms of educating people, restricting its use, locating its use to particular places. And it was a very good conversation in which everyone contributed their own thoughts and feelings about the subject. The forum will end at 8:30 on the dot, and I will let you know as we get close to that time that we are approaching the end. Tonight, we are going to start with Gary with a little bit different tact on this question. We're going to be talking about the question that you see above you. And I think you'll see as you go through this, considering what we have in the village right now, what we might have, that it should spark a lot of commentary, I would think. So Gary, I will turn it over to you.
Okay. Tom introduced me as being the administrative assistant, which is correct, but another function that I serve is as the resource center coordinator. And in that role, the question that has occupied me ever since I was asked to serve in that function was exactly this one. What purpose can Resource Center play in these times, given the fact that since the day that the Resource Center was founded at Holden, which was about 1982, there's been a revolution in information technology, and that everybody's personal computer at home is itself a resource center. So what is it that we could provide here that is unique and would be of value to the people who come here? And these are some of my ideas. Now I'm going to see whether this thing works. There we go. If you go back to 1982, there were four particular principles on which the Resource Center was founded. And I think one of the issues that we deal with in terms of looking at what the Resource Center function might be for us now is that old philosophical question of form versus substance. There's a certain substance that the Resource Center is supposed to fill, and in 1982, it took a certain form. Question is, not what should be the different substance of the Resource Center, but the substance can still be valid, but does it need to take a different form in order to fulfill the original mission as it was set forth? Which were, One, to respond to requests for resources for personal and parish renewal. Two, to prepare a resource packet to be mailed to subscribers 3 or 4 times a year, and as it was outlined, subject will range from everything from liturgical renewal to lifestyle issues to compost systems and worm farming. Three, educational material similar to Baptized We Live, which was written by Dan Erlander, who was actually the first director of the Resource Center, will be prepared and made available through the Resource Center. And four, the Resource Center coordinator will be available on a limited basis to conduct conferences and retreats for congregations and ministers of congregations. And in fact, as I read things, the Resource Center was, at that time when it was founded, was a vital piece of the Ministry of Holden. It created great visibility to the wider Holden community for people who were subscribers to these resource packs, who got them regularly and who kept them in touch with Holden, did genuinely provide resources that they could use in their congregations and in their communities. As well as just keeping up that visibility throughout the year of people who were as part of a network as to what Holden was and that it was here and that it was doing something vital, et cetera, et cetera. We'll go to the next slide. There we go. Now, if we went into the Resource Center today and examined the shelves there, what items might we find that would otherwise be unavailable to anyone outside the village who had an internet connection? And if you look at that, you would see that the answer is practically none. Of all the things that we get in the mail, people get them in the mail, you can go to Google and type in these subject matter, and people will be able to get them at home if they just know how to Google correctly. And maybe that's all we need to do. We need to educate people how to Google correctly. But it raises a wider question, I think. This is not voice command. There we go. What resources might Holden provide to people that are unique? And I should have reworded this. It's not people that are unique. What resources that are unique might Holden provide to people, is how I read it. And when I thought about this, what is it that really makes Holden the special place that it is? And isn't it the relationships that we build here, the connections with one another, given the great variety of people who come up on the bus throughout the year and all the various sorts of gifts and talents and expertise that they have? So I would say that the biggest resource that we could provide, is people. Because people have gifts. And they have also good things, talents, there we go, and interests. And we need a new battery for this thing. in fact, and I think that the early Resource Center did something like this in a less high-tech manner. They used a card file. Is that they did surveys of people who came to the village and asked them two things. What interests is it that you have? And what areas of expertise might you be seeking? And people could come and look in that card file and look at possible people if somebody's interested in the topic of Latin America, for instance, and wants an expert on Latin America or something. They could look in the card file and find this person who had this expertise. If they're lucky, it might be somebody in their own geographical area that when they go home, they could ask to come and talk about Latin America, something like that. It's possible for us, especially given the advances in technology to make the system even better. I only made 10 copies of these because I was conservative in my estimates who would show up. This is a sample questionnaire that might be given out to anybody who came as a guest or a visitor of the village. And I only came up with this in like about 20 minutes, so there's a lot of room for improvement if you see things you can suggest on that. And it would be a question that would be offered as an option, not as a requirement, with the understanding that anybody who filled it out would be putting themselves, making themselves a part of a network that they could possibly be contacted somewhere along the line to offer their expertise in a certain way. So think about it. We could put this into an electronic database, and people could come and sit at our bank of computers that's going to be in the newly renovated resource center / library / media center, and they could type in how my interests are, or on the other hand, they could type in my areas of expertise are, and accessing the database, anybody coming here, let's say somebody's interested in spiritual direction, want to know about others who are doing spiritual direction or also have the same interests in their geographic area. You could put the, variables down, and somebody could come, somebody who lived in Portland, for instance, could come up with a half dozen people who were in the database who also had those areas of interest and expertise. And the network, the living network of the wider Holden community, the Holden diaspora, could be built and maintained and serve the ministry of Holden and the wider community. I don't want that. I don't know how to get rid of that. But anyway, if you remember, one of the very first part of the mission statement that the Resource Center was supposed to do was in providing resources for personal and parish renewal. The Resource Center originally envisioned itself being, I should have made this so fancy. Hit the space bar. Maybe I'll just do it from here.
I'll do it.
Okay. There we go. Originally envisioned itself being forward-looking and being, here we go, Bruce, proactive. This is what you get when you try to be too high-tech. Not just reacting to issues as they came, but anticipating issues that would be facing the church and the world as time came up. These, in fact, are actual handouts from some of those resource packs that that went out in the early days. And it's kind of enlightening to me for some of the reactions that that Holden still gets about inclusive language, for instance, that we're dealing with inclusive language way back in 1982, as well as issues about forming congregational peace groups and simplified lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look, again, Bruce. So the question is, what issues can we currently anticipate the church and the faithful needing to face in the coming years? And here's where, there we go. To me, I don't think that a lot of folks out in the world and the church as a subset of the world are really taking seriously a lot of the issues that we're currently going to be facing within the next decade or so. Some of those issues being the rise of empire abroad and the loss of democracy at home, our oil shortages, economic uncertainty that we're facing, overconsumption, which means unsustainable lifestyle. We cannot keep going at this current level that we're currently going, and who knows what it means. And the third thing is dealing with from a Christian point of view, is what's called the end of Christendom. There's an emerging consensus among historians, church historians particularly, that the age we're in now, they say, really is a sea change in the Christian situation. The biggest change since the age of the Emperor Constantine back in the 4th century. And the big change being that during Constantine's time is when the church became the established religion of the empire. And within the last 25 to 50 years, Christianity, at least in the West, has become a disestablished religion. That it no longer has the authority that it does. It's no longer something that people can take for granted. That where are people on Sunday mornings? So they're not necessarily in church, which means that they don't necessarily consider it part of their lifestyle anymore. That Christianity is more increasingly being a choice than it is something that's just something that they assume as part of their birthright or something. But that has a lot of consequences about where we're moving and what we're going. In fact, if you look at those various other elements on there, the rise of empire and the unsustainability of things, there have been a lot of parallels that have been drawn that between actually the early church, we're moving into a time where we're approaching an early church scenario, living in an age of empire, than where we were when we were part of the imperialistic institutions themselves. So the question is, this is where we go back to the resource center. Are churches and individuals prepared with the resources people will need to meet their spiritual crises in the coming hard times? As we think about it, if there comes a crash, if things become more difficult, people are going to have spiritual crises that they'll be facing. And what are the resources that they're being prepared with to face these sorts of things? Forget about their physical crises. Forget about their economic crises and all that sort of thing. What are the spiritual crises, the crises that we're supposed to be preparing people for during times that might be facing us on the horizon? So, anyway, where'd that come from? Oh. Holden is a unique place in order to think, you have this forward thinking in these ways, and to provide resources, because Holden itself is an endeavor at sustainable living, even when much of the rest of the world is living unsustainably. And so, we're missing an opportunity if we're not compiling and producing resources to serve others in the challenges that they will face, and anticipating what those challenges were and then being able to address them. Some resources along these lines are being produced right now. There aren't a lot. But that's because people are only beginning to start to think about what exactly are the issues at hand and how we might address them. So, and now thinking about the way that these such resources might be available and shared if we compile them. One might be, of course, on site, right here, in our own room. One might be using the Holden website as a medium to present these things. And then if we really want to get into it, we can take advantage of things like listservs and email lists and all that. A listserv, you know, I don't know what a listserv is.
No, I don't.
Through the internet become regular subscribers to these lists, where then if you send out a message, everybody, it's sort of a blanket kind of email sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they get these messages. And conceivably, under a system like that, say a weekly message could be sent out from the Holden Resource Center and said, here's a book list of the particular topic this week that you might want to consider. Or here's some questions for discussion that are currently animating our community, and you might want to take them into your own congregations and talk about these things as well and all that. It would be a thing that if people subscribe to this and we're getting a weekly download from the Resource Center would keep, again, the visibility of Holden before their eyes, within their consciousness. And they would continue to remember that Holden was out there and trying to help guide them along in the work that they themselves might find useful, that they're trying to do in their own communities. So all that I've talked about so far is something that you can react to on one hand, but it's all been with looking at the one community that the Resource Center serves, which is the people who come and visit Holden and are part of what I think of as the Holden diaspora. But the second community that the Resource Center serves are the people who live right here. And so this raises the question, what services can the Resource Center provide to those of you who live here, those of you on staff? And this is where I could use your help a lot, because I can think of a few things, such as those of you who might be thinking about applying to graduate school and things, we get resources, or seminary, or writing programs. We already have a lot of that stuff in the Resource Center as it is. Various employment opportunities, specifically in those sorts of fields that are attractive to Holden-like people, such as employment in environmental areas, helping with sustainable living and all that. We can compile all those sorts of resources so that when you leave the village here, you come on and are going out into the world, want to take your values out to a job that would use those values as well. Volunteer opportunities. There are other communities out there that are much like Holden that you might want to get a taste of them as well. And then this is where I can use your help. What other sorts of services that the Resource Center could provide for you who live here? So we're going to retire this thing, and that's all that the PowerPoint has to provide. So now we can hear from you.
One of the things that, you know, in considering this, that I'd encourage people to do is to take a look at the Resource Center room. If you haven't been in there for a while, we subscribe to... Do you have any idea how many publications here?
Oh, I would say probably 25 to 35.
Okay, 25 to 35 publications. Some would be monthlies or quarterlies. On specific topics of interest, there would be in there things on living simply, things on... various alternative types of community living. There's a section, for instance, on seminaries for those who are interested in that. As time has gone by and people have come in and out of the village, those people who have a particular interest have encouraged some person to subscribe to some publication which we have available. As Gary said when he started out, of course, this is now available by other means. What do you think? Is it worthwhile using other means? And as we talk about it, I think the thing that we're always wanting to think about is that question involving all technology use here. I think the worry can be defined as, will Holden remain a place of heart, or will it be a place in parts as a result of some choice in the way we choose to use technology? Would you, let's put it this way, would you like to have that kind of access available? Or is what is presently available sufficient?
I would promote more and more in tune with what's available on the down mountain side of the world. Partially because while I'm here, I've already had a bunch of ideas. I wish I could jump on the internet to search it a little bit wow, these are great diapers. Where do we get them? Could we have some more? You know, I mean, I feel like Holden's going to go get behind if we're not able to move on moments like that when you're inspired while you're here. I feel like it would be a helpful thing to stay.
But isn't that this unsustainable living we're talking about? Trying to keep up and stay on top of everything on a minute's notice? You know, hasn't technology led to this unsustainable living we're talking about? And if we open access to that technology, aren't we perpetuating something that we don't believe in? Something that Holden doesn't believe in?
We live very simply away from Holden, our family does, and, you know, we've done okay dealing with the technical advances of the world and the Walmarts and all that stuff, and I feel like Holden has got a pretty good foundation and wouldn't be wobbling all over the place. You know, it's true, you gotta be aware and cautious, but, you know, I don't know.
I think the perception is going to be real different between people who are on longer term basis up here as compared to people who come up for a week. Visitors who come for a week really sometimes don't want it. If I were living here for months, I could really see the desire to have more communication. And that's a maybe not a balance, but it's two different ways to look at the same question. And both audiences have, I think, needs there. One need for solitude and one need for some communication.
Oh, I came up when I came back from this retreat in Issaquah Monday morning. I came up with Sarah. I don't think she's here, but she had been out for a day. She had to go down to the bed and breakfast to write a recommendation for a friend who was going to college. She had to take 2 days out. She had to take her out days and her day off to go out and write a recommendation, which took about 25 minutes, but it had to be on the internet. So she had to go down to the bed and breakfast. It seemed like one of the prize values is time. To have to take 2 days out to do a friend a favor, and of course then be penalized up here and having to use your, it's a 3-month staff person, she used 2 of her out days to do that, and also her days off, but also all the fuel it takes to go up and down and paying for things. I thought when you put up that little thing about schools, I think there are appropriate times for using technology, and it's very difficult now. Years ago, when some of us were living here and we were applying to graduate school, there was no internet. There was, you know, of course you sent things in the mail. Perhaps that world that is terribly flawed, at the same time, there's still good schools out there, and they can't help it if they don't accept snail mail anymore. Anyway, Diane.
I think when you ask about what is the purpose, I think part of this kind of change is that my perception, maybe it's something that I especially experienced because of the move outside, is that there's an information overload, that many people are complaining of having way too much information at their fingertips. And to me, and I can think of several examples that have occurred, that a unique role for the Resource Center would be around discerning values and priorities among all this information. That when I look back to some of those things that Dan wrote with cooperation with other people, they were really, I wouldn't exactly say summary statements, but they were thinking pieces that came out of the community. What was being thought and discussed that time about tax resistance? Some of it was what are the options, you know, information, but it was really more what was growing out of community conversation. And I remember a few years ago, there was a substantial move in community conversation in the village that the Winter community write a statement regarding the invasion of Iraq. And it became very confusing. Was this going to be a policy? Was this going to be something that was published in the paper? And there wasn't agreement in the first place. You know, a few people used their, a few times in a life to block consensus in regard to statements that had been written and rewritten and rewritten. And it would seem like the Resource Center could be a place where, without necessarily having to have a vote and full endorsement and some sort of authority that this is the Holden Village position, that there could be sort of pieces of discernment, of community conversation that resulted in thoughtful pieces that would both provoke internal conversation. But I think those that wanted a position statement at the time said people look to Holden for assistance in getting through everything, for a sort of a faith-filled and general and generous response to different kinds of issues. And I've often felt that our Thursday public advocacy positions, I wish that they were published, because in the flood of stuff about advocate for this and that, you know, somebody in the village was doing a lot of work to lift up an issue, and I had a lot of trust that that would be something I would support. And so to me, something in the area of community conversation and discernment that wouldn't be so much information-oriented, but carry the flavor of the village itself in what we were thinking about or talking about, and that the role of the resource coordinator would have more to do with writing these reflective pieces that were maybe bounced around in the community. To me, if I came here for a week, I'd head straight there, or I'd look on the web to find out where was the substantive and faith-filled conversation, where was it at, what should I be paying attention to? Because I can't do it with the web, and I can't do it with the internet. It's just way too much stuff, and you can't tell the junk from the, you know, what's fat, you know, plenty of lies in there as well. So. I would, so to me it might not actually be that big, but it would be something that created conversation both inside and outside of the village, and were, anyway. So I think it's a move away from information toward being an assistance in discerning priorities and values.
More like an editorial?
So, yeah, something like that.
I think related to that could be the possibility, one of the earlier suggestions you had, of building a network of people who could speak on a certain topic. Mm-hmm. So if a piece came out that was sort of editorial in nature, this is what we're discussing in the village, if you'd like more information, here are the folk available in your area who might be able to build a conversation with you. I know when I was an advisor to our student chapter of Amnesty International. They would put out lists of people within a statewide area, of people who could come to your meeting and talk about amnesty because of their experience. Mm-hmm. And that was really very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Wow, to the people idea. It's just like right on. If I was not here tomorrow, I would love that thing. If I could find out some connections, networking possibilities outside of this village that have come through this place and weaved in. I think it's...
You know, the thing that you hit on there for me all of a sudden is that one of the great things, for reasons that I've never quite understood really, about Holden is many people I think would say the same thing to, or to say amen to this. There's something about the quality of conversation here. Even with people who are total strangers, there is, you tend to make connections. I don't know, because it's isolated, I don't know what it is, but having come back in January after 28 years, I noticed that was still here, because there were a number of people I had very intense conversations with. And in a world that doesn't prize that much, and where we're all say, you know, we don't have enough time for that, and where what's, I mean, if the role of resource is part educational, in a world where media is provides very little education on almost any issue of substance, I mean, how would Holden's role play out there? Because when you were saying also about the internet and what's out there, I had occasion last spring to research the subject of hospitality. And even after I had narrowed down fairly good sources on that, it was just, I mean, we've all done that with a topic. So many of them are dead-end streets, or the same thing over again, or nothing is condensed. And I'm wondering what that would look like, you know. But like you were saying, Ellen, I think then we're into editorializing, which isn't a bad thing. How would we do that? What would the outreach coordinator's job suddenly be, you know? You'd be, in a sense, condensing conversations, I would suppose. I don't know.
I think what you'd be doing is you'd be coming up with a lot of the things that came out in 1982 with Dan Erlander, except that they would be technologically different.
Would they be the same if they included people that weren't here? Would you get the same conversation? I mean, yeah. Is everyone the same when they're not at Holden as when they are here? Is there something that would be lost? I don't know. I can see, especially sending information from Holden, you know, where it's coming from the crucible, you know, where it's, where things can be thought out slowly and without interruption. Certainly getting, communicating outward. And you have to be, think real hard about exactly how you would construct the forum for including, you know, chat room with everyone everywhere. Do you begin to get a lot of the sameness on them?
It sounds like a prophetic role to me.
I think it would be real exciting as a staff member to have the possibility of sending out to people who are interested, you know, this is what we're talking about and this is what we're thinking about and here are some of these ideas. You know, I think it would be a way of, I think sometimes people on staff feel like they don't have a voice. And I think it'd be a real powerful and real way to give people here a voice in Holden.
Then, Paul, by that do you mean like the individual staff person would have a listing on as a resource?
Yeah, the person, like the person being listed as a resource or helping to create those kinds of, I don't know, e-newsletter or something like that, you know, to people who are interested.
The only thing I'm thinking then is, would you, what problem might come up if, let's say someone on the staff has a burning issue that just totally occupies them, and how then do you permit access to someone who wishes to, I mean, what kind of disclaimer would you need so that some people would not necessarily assume that what this person was saying was Holden's position. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you have to do what people...
I mean, you could just say, you know, this is a staff member at Holden.
Right. Just not like they do on TV things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. On the news hour. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not the opinion of...
Right.
Right.
Or I mean, you wouldn't even necessarily have to even like put a disclaimer on it. You could just say, someone who works at Holden Village, you know, in the name of it.
The other question then becomes larger issue is how much time then is spent in front of the computer, as opposed to spending time in the community, talking and conversing, and as opposed to we got to get this newsletter out, we got to answer questions. And we got to take questions. How do you balance that? I mean, I see benefits of both sides, no doubt, but we have to have more staff, and then.
So is the non-voice being addressed? What are the avenues for not having a voice? I mean, you expressed that as a non-voice. I'm just saying that. What are the avenues for that now? Conversation, the newsletter that goes out. Letters. I mean, what's inadequate now before you add something more? Is there something that can be fixed within what exists versus adding one other level of complexity that would then not address the non-voice? I mean, I don't know that would actually solve the problem. You know what I mean? I certainly get a lot of email. I get a lot of stuff I just trash immediately. I never even look at it from valuable people. I'd rather talk to them. I'd rather call them. And I wonder if that would, I think sometimes we're looking for a solution and the tool isn't the right one. And we have to look, is this the correct tool to really meet my needs? What is my need clearly defined, and how can I best, I as an individual and we as a community, whether short term or long term, how do we meet that need? And it's easy to think that technology will solve our problem, or will it add to the problem? You said time in front of the computer. And time is a real American thing. It's really a cultural thing, not having enough time. Every time I've gone abroad and I come back, the first thing everyone says is time. And I look and I think time is the same around the world. But it's so American to not have time. It's not a global issue, having time. It's an American issue. Time exists in itself without culture. So I ask, I would really want to plumb the depths of that. What is the problem that needs to be addressed, and would technology solve that problem, or would it create more problems for me?
If we were talking about something like internal dialogue and sharing that with the exterior community, would that become more a concern of your communications person than your resource person?
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Do you need then an editor, in which case it makes more sense, I think, to have one person who does the editing for whatever kind of communications the village does, and this would seem to be a kind of communication.
I think one of the major parts of our mission is sending people out into the world equipped and with resources. And so for me, that's really an awful lot of the issue in the resource center is what can be provided to people who come to Holden to take with them so for me the sense of connection with individuals really makes a big difference. I mean, that's what stands out for me as the piece that would be more valuable than having access to some kind of Holden-esque idea or policy statement or something like that, which you know may or may not help to shape conversation within the village. But I really like that idea of connecting people and resources. Mm-hmm. And just matching up things. And I do think it's really important to give people who are here
on staff some kind of access to, you know, some way to re-enter, you know, without being having such a huge gap in communication.
I have a question, and this, you know, Heather and I just came here for the first time, so I'm sort of an outside. This is our first experience here, so we have sort of an objective view, I would think. But if Holden Village was, I don't know how familiar you are with Seattle, but if it was 30 minutes outside of Seattle from the airport, in a beautiful landscaped, you know, beautiful area, would it be as unique as it is now? I mean, you would have access to more people. People would come to your place easier. You could have internet and phones, and wireless. Would it be as unique as it is in this remote, isolated area? And if it would be, then I think the question about electronic access and computers is easy. But if it isn't, then maybe it wouldn't be as unique as if it was here in this isolated area, where it's isolated because it's hard to get to. Which we talk, on one side, we want people to have access to everything. On the other side, it's very difficult for people to get here because they have to fly to Seattle and to drive 4 hours and jump on a boat. And, you know, we could really make this more accessible if we moved near the airport. You know, in a beautiful land, and, you know, because the people are going to be the same. Or that's what we said.
When you look at other communities, Tehekan, and, you know, reading the Seattle paper about phones, and there's an isolated community. It's just very similar to this, and without its faith base, which is a huge difference, but it's geographical location is similar. And that community struggled with phones, and how do they address that as a community, and internet, and it's a hodgepodge up there. He's got a different take on it. So there's another community that's isolated, but it doesn't have the outreach, except for marketing outreach. It doesn't have a faith-based, what you're talking about, the heart and the soul of Holden going out and connecting.
And I can report that having spent my sabbatical with the Iona community last year, Iona has access to everything, cell phones, internet, web access, and all that sort of thing. It doesn't seem like they've suffered from that at all. So, I mean, there's still a sense that people, when people are coming there, they're coming to a special place.
I really think that the purpose of the Resource Center, though, is different. They're connected, but it's different than whether there's access to the internet.
Yes, right.
Because maybe we don't even need a Resource Center.
Right.
You know, we just need to have the staff have access to the internet.
Yeah, right.
And people who come in as guests, they are fleeing the internet. So I still think it's a very important question. What is the purpose of the resource?
Right, yeah.
It was very much formed out of the gifts of a particular person at that time. And it, you made me aware by going back to what were the happy packets of Dan Erlander, that it, as an organization, we've reduced the time that we have given to the support of the Resource Center over the years from those days. And I think for it to sort of be restored into a vital role or a vital aspect of the mission, there'd be a lot of other elements to think about in terms of what makes it a vital piece of equipping people for ministry. And I think it we shouldn't get too tight with the purpose of the Resource Center is to provide internet access for staff.
Right.
I think
right.
it's
That's a subsidiary issue.
Yeah, there are two different questions, and you could do the internet access and get rid of the resource center. And that's not necessarily what I'm proposing, but I'm just saying they really are different but related issues.
It seems an inevitable internet access for staff. If I look at everything that you have to do to continue to be functioning in this society, to be on staff here and not have access to that stuff, it could really handicap you in the world. So I believe that that's going to happen. I don't know why I believe that, but let's just pretend that that already happened. Then we look at the resource center in particular, and I'd like to just say, when I go to a place, let's say I'm an old rock climber, you know, I used to do a lot of rock climbing. When I go to a sort of a mountain area where there's rock climbing, you know, like say I went to Chamonix, what's unique about like a bookstore in Chamonix is not that I'm going to go there looking for something in particular. It's what it shows me. It's what's on the shelf that draws my attention. And I get really excited about seeing the latest thing that Reinhold Messner wrote, or you know. And so I think that the Resource Center, what it has on its facade and what it presents to people to help them, direct them, is going to be most important. So the presentation of the material ought to be what Holden, you know, espouse Holden's values, maybe. So the things that you see in the Resource Center ought to be the kinds of things that, I don't know, you don't want to steer people too much, but like you say, any day of the week they can get on Google and find anything they want. So that's probably not necessarily the purpose of the Resource Center. It's more the presentation of material in particular that will spark ideas.
I would really second that. You know, I think that, you know, so many people, staff, guests, otherwise, like barely even realize that the Resource Center exists. And I think that if part of our mission statement is equipping people for life down the mountain, you know, and I think, I mean, brutally honest, I think we do kind of a meager job of that. You know, I think people come up here and they feel spiritually renewed, but we don't give them tools to go out into, you know, with contacts, with other resources outside the village, with information, with books, with any of those kinds of things.
I'm right on that same, I totally can feel exactly what those two people just said, and I'm here for a year, it's a point in life. You asked what do you want to do for the staff? Well, we're at a transition point in life. We came here knowing that when we leave here, we're going to try and do something besides what we've been doing, and that's hard. And everything, we need help, you know, sort of like the school guidance counselor. You know, where you walk in and say, oh, heck, I can get good grades and here, maybe I want to be interested in this in college, or, you know, I mean, I really, we're at that point, and I know that there's a lot of people that seem to be in transition when they come here, whether it's retirement or just starting anew after some whatever point in life.
Those are the people who volunteer here.
That is what I'm saying.
People who are in transition.
And we need help. I mean, everything from, I'd love to know the name of a good lawyer who could help us write our will to cover our kids' safety if we take off. I'd love some financial advisor help. I would love some just personality test. What the heck am I good at anyway? And what can I be using my talents for? And, you know, just, and then, yeah, job opportunities, all the ones you had listed. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a need. I think it's a hole that is there and nobody even knows it, you know?
Just to let you know, we're in the last 5 minutes.
But can we go online to find out more?
Right down the hall.
We have a link.
There's a secret passageway that leads to a separate building.
There's a line there.
And the password is. Is there some thought in what you're saying that Steph, that a closed system that was not connected to the web, that would just, well, I don't know how that would work either. Yeah.
I don't think the internet is conversation. You know, there's even with chat rooms and things, and you get so much information, you just, it's overwhelming. So just having the information by itself, I don't think it's helpful.
I just want to respond to something you said in the beginning, was that you saw that there was something that hadn't been lost over that gap of your time being here. And I describe that as, my sister and I have had conversations. There's intense is the word, and there's authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that the internet, it's valuable. I use it every day. My kids use it, but it doesn't bring authenticity into my life in any way. And would all of that technology, if it was dumped into Holden here, would it degrade that authenticity? That would be the question I want to ask. Wouldn't replace it? I don't think it could. Mom, I think you're right. That conversation doesn't happen in the same way on the internet that it does person to person. When you're trying to find the resources, a good lawyer, all of those other things, people can serve as those resources too.
Well, that's what I was saying is, if I walked to Gary and said, I need to write a WIPA will, for guardianship of our kids, he'd say, got just the person for you. They worked here 5 years ago, they said, give us a call anytime and someone needs it. Then I'd be like, oh, I feel safe. It's someone that somebody knows, and it would be a great help,
Whatever decision, I think it should come out of the mission of Holden, as you were alluding to, that mission statement, that whatever decision's made, it should be grounded in that. And then the chances of success are better.
One reason I got out of the newspaper business after 35 years is that the newspaper industry is just trying to do things, everything now on the cheap. And it takes people and energy and effort and thought to be that guidance counselor, that reference librarian, that editor, that thoughtful writer of sermons, that thoughtful writer of liturgies, who's going to put together a quality product. And there's just such a temptation to do it on the cheap and just throw everything there. And it just takes a real commitment of energy and time and money to do it right. And I'd rather not see it done than see it done all wrong. Although I love a lot of the points you made, and certainly I would think some of that matchmaking with speakers, bureaus and things, I don't see how some of those things could go wrong. But when you're talking about actually putting together content, conversation, what we're thinking, you want that to be a quality job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you were saying, Barbara, one of the things in terms of conversation, this is something that comes up fairly frequently. Someone would say something like, well, let's say we had internet or web access available in the new resource center. We haven't discussed who would have access. Would we say not the guest, just the staff? I mean, that kind of splits the community, to my mind, in some ways, or at least my definition of it. But what some people have said is, as an argument, well, if someone goes back to their room at night with a compact disc and watches a movie for 2 hours, they are not engaging in conversation. They're not engaging in someone else in discussion. is that, and as you may know, there actually was, and I just found out this out the other day, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that there was a move to have video availability removed from rooms, staff, people's. Somebody said that to me. This was like in the 80s sometime. In the early 80s or when that first came in? But that has been a worry for people, that that's something that, that lessens the quality of conversation in the village because people are, you know, just like some people like to work with, you know, listening to the thing going on. I mean, there's the, or go listen to music while they go on a hike or whatever it may be. I think that question of what helps and harms, I mean, how do we approach the issue and not be paternalistic, you know, in terms of we know what's good for you.
On the other hand, dealing with the outside world is getting so hard. I just had this weird snafu with my visa bill. I've written 10 letters about it. There's no one out there who answers snail mail anymore. They're all in India or something, and they don't respond to letters. I had a problem with REI. They messed up an order. I kept writing them. They kept sending me a card saying, call our 800 number. I kept writing them, I don't have access to a phone. They kept sending me this card saying, call our 800 number. It gets harder and harder to just straighten out the stupidest little snafus. Not that I don't want email, really, but what I'd like is once a month when these stupid snafus come up, to maybe have a liaison person here who will go to the B&B and straighten it out for me, you know? I mean, my bank sent me this new Visa card, and I had to call an 800 number to activate it. I've never been able to do that. I mean, it's just weird, stupid stuff that I never anticipated.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between being a place apart and a place in a vacuum. And I think that we have to find out what that is.
Yeah. I spent a couple of weeks in a Trappist monastery once, and before I went, because I was going to be completely immersed in life there, I read up on Thomas Merton and all that stuff, and read about the vows of silence and all that, and was totally blown away when I went there and found the monks talking to each other. And I said, what happened? And they said, well, they realized that the vow of silence had the purpose that it was supposed to keep people centered. But when they were sitting in the refectory and they wanted their fellow monk to pass the ketchup or something, and they had to go through all these sorts of hand signals and all that stuff, they realized that it was more centering just to say, pass the ketchup. it can get that, we want to be centered here, but when you got to call that 800 number, it doesn't center you at all. It scatters you.
Yeah, it does.
That brings us to the end of our hour. And I was hoping that at some point, Harry told me that story last week, and I thought it was so good. I want to thank you very, very much. As you probably know, the way the situation stands now is the board has said that the directors can make this decision involving this question. That doesn't mean there won't be a lot more conversation. And the conversation, I'm very grateful, and I know I speak for Paul and Carol also, because your comments are so good and so intelligent. And we have no position or assumption that we have cornered the intelligence on this issue by any means. And I found that hour just very, very good. Thank you so much. And I'm hoping that it continues. Now, and just so you know, there is no timetable. There is a board meeting next week, but it's not like at the board meeting we will say to them, this is what we would like to see happen. What they've asked us to do is to have a broad-ranging conversation over time, which is what we intend to do. Because it is. It's a very, very complicated issue. And I'm very grateful for you coming and sharing what you did. So thanks a lot. And we'll be having more of these. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
And that's where people was the best.